Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Easter Day celebration from Penrith Methodist Church. I'm Dave Milner, one of the ministers here in Penrith, and I'm really glad that you could join us as we celebrate and rejoice in the resurrection. Now, usually on Easter morning, whoever's leading the worship would say to the gathered congregation here, "Christ is risen," and they'd all shout back, "He is risen indeed. Hallelujah." So today I invite you to fling wide your doors, open up the windows of your house and shout it out. Let your neighbours hear. Lose your inhibitions for a moment and lift up your voices. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Wow, I almost think that I might have heard you from down the street there. But do you think you could do it again? But this time with more passion, with more feeling and more excitement in your voice. Louder. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah indeed. Now, during Lent, normally there would have been a large cross right here. And each week we would have been adding symbols and signs to that cross. This year we've invited you to create your own space. And we've added items in each week. Perhaps you join me with me then as we add our last item. The words might be here with you to join in with. We pray together. As we journey through this season of Lent, I choose to embrace this wilderness. I open myself up to the waiting and lay down all my scattered thoughts. I hold my impatience, my desire for speedy resolutions. I yield to the unanswered questions and my unquenched thirst. I carry the hope of the near, but not yet. I will wait for you, Lord, and trust in your unfailing love. In the silence of this time, keep me and hold me in the expectation of your deliverance. I light the candle to remind me that even in the darkness, your light still burns. I place this stone to remind me that sometimes life is hard and cold for me and for others too. I place some soil to remind me of the time waiting for your new growth to appear. I place some water to remind me that only you can quench my thirst. I place this cross to remind me that death comes before the resurrection. And today, I place this flower to remind me that new life is not only possible, but is coming. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. And on this Easter day, we proclaim, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And that makes this the greatest day. The greatest day in all of history.
Come to you this glorious Easter day to worship your holy name and give thanks for your redeeming grace in sending your only Son who paid such a price in order that we can live in freedom today. We give you thanks that he is risen, alive and full of grace. There are times when doubts assail and the distance between us seems to increase. There are times, Lord, when sin has its hold, like a barrier between us that will not move. Who is there we can turn to when we feel so overwhelmed? Who can roll away the stone and reveal the empty tomb? No one but you, Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ. No one but you. May we drink in your tender love so that we can pour this love out to others. Come, reign in our hearts and minds through your Holy Spirit. We welcome you to guide our every word, action and thought. Come, transform us on the inside so that each day we become more like our risen Lord. Be with us, Lord, through this service and throughout this day. Amen. And now I'm inviting you to join together wherever you are in the Lord's Prayer, using whichever version you are used to. I'm using a modern version. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen.
Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early, on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you."
I love Easter because death has been defeated and there's new life. That's why we have eggs.
I like Easter because there's no school.
I like Easter because it's the start of spring and new life.
I love Easter because it brings new life and a continued friendship with Jesus, the risen Christ, whose love for everyone never fails and never gives up.
I love Easter because of seeing new life come into the world.
Mum!
Oh, I love Easter. It's a lovely fellowship at Cottage Wood when we watch the sunrise, followed by bacon butties.
I love Easter because Jesus came.
I love Easter because Easter proves to me that with God, love always wins.
I love Easter because you can allow my book for you dinner.
I like Easter because it's my birthday.
I like Easter because it reminds me of spring.
I love Easter because it's a time when nature wakes up.
I love Easter because it's about new life and new beginnings.
I love Easter because of the empty cross.
I love Easter because it's the season of new life.
I especially love Easter this year because I get to say hello to my brand new baby grandson. Hello baby Aiden. Happy Easter everyone.
I love Easter because it's a family time.
I love Easter because of the sacrifices we make for Lent. We are able to celebrate on Easter Sunday.
Now the green blade riseth from the buried grain. Wheat that in the dark earth many days has lain. Love lives again that with the dead has been. Love is come again. Like wheat that springeth green. In the grave they laid him, man whom men had slain, thinking that never he would wake again. Laid in the earth like grain that sleeps unseen. Love is come again, like wheat that springeth green. Forth he came at Easter, like the risen grain. He that for 3 days in the grave had lain. Quick from the dead, my risen Lord is seen. Love is come again, like wheat that springeth green. Do be do 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 when our hearts are wintry, grieving or in pain. Thy touch can call us back to life again. Fields of our hearts are dead and bare have been. Love is come again, like wheat that springeth green.
I wonder if you've ever been the victim of bullying. Perhaps it was at school when some of the bigger kids were picking on you or teasing you. Perhaps it was in the workplace when your boss or your line manager made it a very uncomfortable place to be. Bullies can come in all sorts of different shapes and sizes, can't they? They can turn up in all sorts of different places. At its heart, bullying is the misuse of power. The bully tries to use their strength or their power to intimidate or coerce their victims into doing things that they don't want to do, to go places that they don't want to go, or to feel things that they don't want to feel. The bully inflicts hurt or pain or fear into the vulnerable person, keeping them feeling powerless, humiliated, small, afraid. Today's gospel reading is Mark's account of the resurrection. Now, each gospel is different. They're not carbon copies of one another. And each of the gospel writers has a different twist on the story, a different take, a different motivation for why they've written what they've written, something that they want you to pick out of the story of Jesus. Mark tells you straight up what he's about and why he's writing. Chapter 1, verse 1. He says, the beginning of the good news, which is about Jesus, who is the Christ. He tells you straight up that Jesus is the Messiah, the long expected king. The king has come. He's here. Here he is. And the very first words that Jesus says in Mark's gospel, chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus says, this is the moment. Now is the time. The kingdom is here. The kingdom's on your doorstep. It's arrived. So just turn around, face the right direction, and believe the good news. Believe the good news. And what is the good news? Well, Mark's already told you. Verse 1. Remember chapter 1, verse 1? The beginning of the good news, which is about Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. In other words, the king is here. The king has arrived. The king is Jesus. Jesus is the king. And if Jesus is the king and the king has arrived, then so has his kingdom. The kingdom is here. The first eight chapters of Mark then give you the proof of that contention, of that idea that the king has arrived. What is the proof of that? The proof of who Jesus really is. The Messiah. The long-awaited king of the kingdom. Where's the proof? Well, Jesus heals the sick. And the crowd asks, what's going on? What is this? A new kind of teaching and with authority? He heals the paralyzed man that's been lowered by his friends through that roof. And he says to the man, your sins are forgiven. And Jesus' opponents look around and say, you can't do that. You can't do that, Jesus. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus, in effect, says, you just watch me. Get up, pick up your mat and walk. Which leaves us with the question, who is this man who can even forgive sins? Down on the lake, he calms the storm. And then the disciples are frightened not by the storm and the power of the storm, but the man who's even more powerful than the storm itself. As the waves die down, the disciples look at one another and say, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And it all comes to a climax in chapter 8, halfway through the gospel. On the road to Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asks the disciples, and you, who do you say that I am? Go on, tell me, who am I? And Peter replies, you are the King, the Christ, the Messiah. But Jesus needs to radically interpret or reinterpret for them what it means to be the king, to be the Messiah. He's not going to be the kind of king that they're all expecting. Last week we saw how he chooses the donkey
not the war horse. He's not that kind of a king. He's the king that gives up his life, who surrenders to the cross. He's a king who dies. He's going to be the suffering servant king, the servant king, the humble king. This is our God, the servant king, who calls us now to follow him, to give our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. He calls us then to deny ourselves selfishness and self-centeredness and greed, to deny all of that, to pick up our cross and to follow in his footsteps, even to the point of martyrdom, to death. Greater love has no one than this, than that they will lay down their lives for their friends, says Jesus. And he's calling us to join him, to be part of his kingdom. But it's going to be a very different kind of kingdom. Just as Jesus is a very different kind of king, this is a very different kind of kingdom. It's not going to be a piece of land that you can draw a line around on a map or build a wall around. It's not territory, it's not turf. And the citizens aren't going to be the nice people, the toffs, the elite, the rich and the powerful, nice people. The most important people in this kingdom are the children, the abused, the vulnerable, the marginalized, the hated, the excluded, the poor, the hurting. These are the people first in line for Jesus' kingdom. So you rich people, says Jesus, you better go and sell everything. Give it all away. Because it's harder for a rich person to get into the kingdom than it is for that camel to crawl through the eye of a needle. You poor, you're the ones who are blessed. You that are grieving, you that are weak and vulnerable, you that are being bullied. You're the blessed ones. Jesus says some truly shocking things, doesn't he? This is how his kingdom is going to come, he says. The kingdom of justice, of peace, of joy, rightness and flourishing. This is how it's going to appear. He says, if somebody hits you on one cheek, offer them the other. Here you go. Hit this one too, if it's going to make you happy. Someone wants to borrow something from you, you just give it to them. Don't expect it back. Someone asks you for a favor, bless them double. Go on. Go the extra mile, not just the grudging bare minimum. If someone hurts you, don't go all out for revenge. Pay back an eye for an eye. Forgive them. Love them. Want what's best for them. So forget about yourself. Live for others instead. And this is how the kingdom of Jesus is going to arrive, as we follow his example. Can you imagine a world like that? It would be a world with no more war, no more hunger, no more crime, because everyone thinks of the other, serves the other, puts the other first. Imagine it. That's the kingdom. Mark's gospel is sometimes called the Easter story, the passion narrative, with a long introduction. Mark's gospel's got 16 chapters, and Palm Sunday is at the beginning of chapter 11. Just to put that into perspective, the first 10 chapters of Mark's gospel cover the first 3.5 years of Jesus' life, from the beginning of John the Baptist right the way through his ministry. But the next 6 chapters cover the last 1 week of Jesus' life. 10 chapters, 3.5 years. 6 chapters, 1 week. And that's no accident. Mark has written his gospel very deliberately. Mark is telling you that the king of the kingdom has come. The king of the kingdom is here, and it all comes down to the cross. The cross is where Mark's focus is. The crux of it all. Deny self. Pick up your cross and follow me. Follow me all the way to the cross itself. And in Mark's gospel, there isn't even much room for the resurrection, is there? In Mark, we don't even get to see the risen Lord, just an empty tomb and a man who's dressed in white. The man in white says, you've missed him. He's already gone. He's ahead of you in Galilee. Go and catch up with him. In the going, you'll meet with him. And all of this in 8 verses. Is that all? Because Mark wants the focus squarely and unwaveringly on the king, on his throne of the cross. Kingdom comes on and through the cross. Follow me. But isn't this kingdom talk just foolishness? It's crazy, isn't it? It's idealism. It's a pipe dream. It can't work. There's always going to be bullies. There'll always be people who are greedy, who look after themselves, look after number one, who will scramble their way to the top, stamping on those underneath them. There'll always be the poor, those who are downtrodden. The poor will always be among you. Jesus' kingdom doesn't seem like heaven at all, if we're realistic. Realistically, it's just a bullish charter, isn't it? Just for bullies to get on and slap you on the cheek as many times as they want to. And maybe you say to me, David, you've got it wrong. Your diary's upside down. This is Easter Day we're in. This isn't Good Friday. We've left Good Friday behind. All this talk of the cross. And of course, you're right. Absolutely. Because a cross without a resurrection is empty and meaningless. As it says in one of our hymns, think of a cross without a resurrection, only a grave and not a victory won. No, we can't. No way. It's impossible. And so here's the punchline of my sermon today. Easter Day means the bully does not win. Oh, it may seem like Good Friday sometimes, but Easter Day is here. The bully has been defeated. Hallelujah. The bully has been defeated. I wonder who you'd say was the ultimate bully in the history of our world. Who abused their power? Who made others feel small, most fearful and afraid? Hitler, Pol Pot, Ceausescu, Stalin. The list's endless, isn't it? For me, the greatest bully of them all, I'll tell you, death. Death itself. What are people most afraid of? Death. What makes people feel that they have no control, no say? What makes people feel that things that they don't want to have to feel? Death. And now, says Paul, death, the last enemy, is defeated. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul turns the tables, almost mocks and taunts death itself. Come on, death, says Paul. Where's your sting now? You don't look so big now, do you? Death has been defeated. And that is Easter Day. Hallelujah. Easter Day says bullies do not win. Today, celebrate the victory. The empty tomb, the empty cross, declares to the world that death is defeated and love wins. Light blazes into the darkness. Love beats hatred and fear. And life overcomes death. Easter Day. Ultimately, a bully can never, ever win. Light, love, and life triumph. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Come on, let me hear you say it. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Now we join together in our prayers of intercession. God our Father, on this glorious Easter day, we come together to offer our prayers of intercession, remembering that Jesus is risen, alive, powerful and victorious, the salvation of the world. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Lord, without the resurrection of your Son, our faith would be empty and without hope. But he is alive, and we rejoice in the knowledge that in Jesus, all that separates, injures and destroys has been overcome by that which unites, heals and creates. We pray for your church here in Penrith, and we give thanks for calling us into the company of those who trust in Christ and seek to obey his will. We think of your church today celebrating a very different way from that which we have come to regard as that's the way to do it. The church is celebrating smaller clusters, online, via Zoom or YouTube. There are not crowds, but people are worshipping in their own homes and in their own way, but united in spirit. Our language, race and nationalities may be different, but our worship is one, and our praise for you is constant. We pray that your spirit may guide and strengthen us in all mission and service to you in our own community, by the NHS, by food banks, by CAP, and many other ways, and to the world outside in whatever way we can each contribute. And we pray that day by day, we may draw closer to you, experiencing your infinite love for us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, on this special day, grant peace in your world for countries where there is war and communities that are broken. We remember today those involved in conflicts around the world, in Syria, Myanmar, in the Yemen, and in so many other places. And we pray that in the difficult days ahead, they may all know your love, the love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. We pray for all who seek to bring peace to this troubled world, and we ask that you will inspire them and give them encouragement. We pray for those living in our own country who have lost loved ones through this pandemic, and those in areas of deprivation where high unemployment and crime levels make daily living a tough challenge. May all who struggle know that you are always with them in their suffering and will follow them step by step down whichever road they choose to take. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for ourselves. You know the needs of human life. As we seek to live our lives according to your example, help us by your inspiration to overcome a hasty speech that hurts others, to be free from greed and selfishness, from pride and jealousy that spoil our life. Help us to curb our temper, to be free from moodiness and wanting our own way. Let your spirit help us to care about the feelings of others, to be gentle and ready to say we're sorry. You know us, Lord. Bring out the best in us so that our lives may reflect your way for the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for all in our congregation who are ill, that you'd work in them and would heal their infirmities. For the lonely, those who have lost loved ones, that in you they would discover the perfect friend, that in the midst of their immeasurable loss, they know the depths of your love and the sure and certain knowledge that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light which no darkness can quench. We remember before God all those who have died and we give joy for their life. You turn our darkness into light. In your light shall we see light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
And so with the words of the angel in the tomb ringing in our ears, he is not here, he is risen. Go, tell. We go in the power of the Spirit to live and love, to work and witness to his praise and his glory. Amen. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us on this Easter day into the coming year and forevermore. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.